Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye. For the last several weeks, we've been reading out of Genesis. We started off the first week of this church year by looking at the creation in the beginning. And there was order. The second week, we looked at the founding father and mother of Christianity and Judaism, and the founding father of Islam, and talked about Abraham. We talked about that, and how they laughed when God offered them the idea of the possible. They thought it was impossible. Last week, we wrestled with Jacob on the lonely wilderness side of the Jabbok. And we realized that all of us are like Jacob and that we are also those who wrestle with God. Israel means someone who struggles, someone who strives, someone who wrestles with God. Now, we're going to have a reading today from the book of Exodus. And the children of Israel have left Canaan, and they have journeyed to Egypt under strained circumstances. Joseph has been prepositioned there as one of Jacob's 12 sons. He's been prepositioned there, and he has established a relationship with the Pharaoh, and he is able to be a counselor to the Pharaoh and be able to anticipate the famine that's going to occur. The famine does occur, and Jacob brings his other 11 boys and the rest of their families down into Egypt, and good things happen to them while that Pharaoh is alive. But then, at the beginning of Exodus, something ominous happens, something very ominous happens, which is that Pharaoh, which has had a relationship with God through Joseph, dies. And so the nature of the relationship between the Pharaoh and the Egyptian people and the children of Israel changes. It changes in such a way that they become enslaved, and the activity of life that was so important in Egypt is now set aside, and Egypt becomes a place of death, a place of anxiety, a place of tension. Moses has been born into this situation, and he's been rescued by the Pharaoh's daughter. He's been put into an ark. The very word in Exodus is the same word that Noah uses to sustain life in Genesis. But he's placed in this ark, and he is sent out on this river of life, which has become a river of death for so many of the Israelite children. And he's rescued, but he doesn't stay rescued, because he eventually returns to his roots, and he saves an Israelite slave from an Egyptian overseer, and that sets in motion Moses having to go into the desert. Now, as I start this reading, it's important for us to remember that Moses has lived in the Egyptian world for some time. We don't know exactly how long, but the Jewish tradition is that he had lived there about 40 years. And that then he lives out in the wilderness for a while. Again, the tradition is he lived there for about 40 years. As we listen to this, assuming I can find it in my book here, that as we listen to this, it's important for us to remember that's what's gone on a little bit before this encounter. The children of Israel have lifted their voice up in pain. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why this bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said to him, Moses said to God, "Here I am." Then God said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Then God said, I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that it is I who sent you, that you have brought the people out of Egypt. You shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. Now the PowerPoint stops, and I'm going to give you one more verse. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations. The word of God for the people of God. I know with certainty where I was the first Monday of the third week of April in 1971. I was scared to death sitting on a runway at Fort Benning, Georgia, getting ready to get aboard a perfectly good United States Air Force aircraft and jump out of it. They called roll by helmet numbers, and I was like B-114 or something. And they called out B-114, and I said, here. If I had been an Israelite, if I'd been an Israeli in the Israeli Airborne Corps, I would have said, Po, here. But we got on board that aircraft, that C-141, and there came to be a place while I was aboard there that they opened the door. That's a scary thought, by the way. Scary sound. They opened the door, and then the jump master started saying some commands to us. Get ready. Stand up. Hook up. Check static line. Check equipment. Sound off for equipment check. And then you began to have this series of male voices popping each other on the tush, coming down the line. One okay, two okay, three okay, four okay. Finally got down to like 16 okay. But he doesn't say 16 okay. He looks at the jump master and he says, all okay. Jump master says, stand in the door. The light turns green, and the jump master says, go. Little insider commentary there. Moses is having an experience like that. What God has called him, God has said, Moses, Moses. Now, Moses' response is not Po. It's not here. It's not a roll call kind of in. Yeah, I'm here. You think of the teacher in the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Bueller! Bueller! He's looking for him to say Po is what he wants to hear. But in this particular scene, what Moses says is the same thing his grandfather has said when Abraham is called by God. Abraham. Abraham. And Abraham says, Hanani. Hanani. Hanani is more than here. It's sort of the equivalent of stand in the door, go. You're all in. You're all in. It's more than just simply this idea of a roll call. Now, I confess to you there, Moses may have said all in, but like many of us, he starts to balk a little bit. I can tell you this, when I got over to that door, if there wasn't about 14 people behind me sort of pushing me out that door, I'm not sure I'd have gone. I was scared to death. Moses may have been scared to death. I don't know with certainty. But he begins to equivocate. He begins to argue with God. Did you hear the conversation there? I didn't give all five of them to you. I just gave two of them to you. His first question was, who am I? Who am I? Those of you that were paying attention noticed that God didn't answer him. God didn't sit there and say to him, Moses, you've lived with the Egyptians for a while. You speak Egyptian. God didn't tell Moses, you've lived in the wilderness for a while. You speak wilderness. I want you to leave here and go back to Egypt and bring my people out. You've shown your good stuff. You've stood up for the Israelites when the slave holders would abuse them. You're good material. You do this at the well when Zephora shows up and tries to feed her flock. And what do? You run off those that would not let her feed those animals. You're good material. Jesus, God doesn't argue with him. God just says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. And by the way, come on back here and I'll give you this sign here on this mountain. We'll celebrate my presence with you here on the mountain. Parenthetically implied, you sort of get the idea. Now get going. Tap him on the fanny. All okay. Get going. But Moses, he's just like us. He's just like us. What does he do? He says, you know, I got a second question. You know, you didn't answer my first question, who am I? I got a second question. Maybe you'll answer this one. Who are you? Who are you after all? Are you going to send me back to this place? And what am I going to do? I'm going to confront the most powerful presence in my life? And I'm going to take that on? Who are you? God doesn't sit there and say, you know, I've already told you once who I was. I've already told you once that I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. I'm the living God. Jesus would tell the religious authorities of his own day that. This is the God for the living. But God doesn't say that. He just says, reminds him. He just says, I am who I am. I am God. I may have commented to you guys many times, I've taken 3 units of clinical pastoral education. I've learned 3 things in that. The second one of which was, there is a God and you, Dennis Shaw, are not it. That's what Moses is hearing right here. I am what I am. I am has sent you. Now, all okay? Hit the road. Now, I don't know what Moses exactly was thinking, but I know in the 20th century, he may have had a situation there where you can just imagine he's watching the Dallas Cowboys lose to the Atlanta Falcons. I slept on the couch. I did sleep on the couch last week. But he's watching it. But, it's this idea maybe of, What do we do in our time? I don't know about God. Does God make a lot of personal calls these days? I don't know. But I have a feeling that most of our responses as contemporary Americans would be slightly more equivocal, at least initially, and would at one point we'd say, yeah, sure, but it's a little sudden and all of that. So, and by the way, could you hang on just a minute? I want to finish watching this football game here, if you don't mind. Can we relate to that? Can we relate to that? But Moses, he just argues a while, and then he basically heads off and gets his marching orders. But I think it's important for us to look at the verbs, what it is that God has said to Moses God says, I've observed the condition of the Israelites. I have heard their call. I know what they're going through. I have come down, and the purpose that I want you to do is to bring them out. It would have been nice, perhaps, if Moses had paid closer attention to what it was that God had said, but he probably so focused on this bush that's not consumed, the fire that's there. The fact that he's come in and God has said, this is holy place, take off your sandals. And he's also said, Moses, Moses. What is it that God might be calling you to do? What is it that God might be calling your name and inviting you to join with God and to do something for on behalf of God and the world? And an idea of being sent out to bring somebody out of somewhere, some kind of bondage that they're in. My guess is that every one of us here, there's 175 people here, every one of us here can be hearing the Word of God call our name. Grace. All of us are being called by name by God. And we can have the option of going, Poe, here. Or we can say, Hanani, here I am. Not just a roll call here. I'm ready to stand in the door and go on behalf of God in the world. That's the invitation. That's what it is when we say we're going to be Moses-like. In the world, that's what it is that we're invited to do. I don't know about you. I don't know where you are in your life. If you're looking for God to show up in a burning bush, maybe disappointed. But you can certainly have a burning bush kind of experience where somebody, somehow, somewhere, you get this conversation going on with God. And just like Moses, therefore you're in pretty fast company, your first reaction is going to be, God, you got the wrong number. You got the wrong guy. There's no way that I'm qualified to do this. Yeah, I've got an MBA, and I know how to do all kinds of financial things, but I can't serve on the financial committee at Hilltop. I don't know anything about money. That's almost exactly what Moses is saying here. I need for you to teach children Sunday school. I'm sorry, I'm a retired school teacher, but I don't know anything about teaching kids. If that sounds silly, that's almost exactly the kind of response we sometimes give God. God said, I want you, Dennis, to go and preach. And I went like, I don't know anything about standing in front of people and talking. It's what I did in the army. Stood in front of people and often explained to them very complicated things so that they could understand them. Most of the time, I was successful. Sometimes I wasn't. So the question, notice Moses' question, who am I? The answer is, you've been one who's been called by God. God has reached out and placed his finger on you and said, I want you to serve me. Everyone here, I would suggest, has probably had an encounter like that. And our first reaction is similar. Our second reaction is very similar to Moses. Who are you again? You sure you got the right number? And the answer is, without a doubt, God has got the right number. God has found you and has invited you to serve on behalf of God and the world. Paul would talk about this in 1 Corinthians 12. He would talk about how our gifts are used to make the body larger. It's easy for us to sit there and say, I don't know anything about this. But the reality is most of us know something about a lot. And we can help in God in some kind of way. That's the invitation I placed for you today. In a moment, we're going to modify the communion service a little bit. We're going to sing to you this idea, the fact that God is maybe whispering your name, inviting you to come in and respond in love to God's call. God is calling you by name. Can you hear the whisper? Can you hear the whisper of God's voice?
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.